Okay, good morning. We're talking about cleaning for Pesach.
Yeah, I have a quick question. So right now I am a shoel on this apartment. Uh-huh. That doesn't mean that I have any ownership over the kalim, right? I mean, I don't have to worry about his kalim, do I?
No, not his vessels. You have to make sure the areas that you're in, you don't have access to visible chametz.
Yeah, okay.
If you can, you know. If it's somebody else's chametz, you know.
Yeah, it's only a kitchenette, but I'm cleaning up the kitchenette, and I'm going to, you know, try to lock everything up or close everything up in one place and then label it and it's sold.
Okay, yeah, actually, okay. Take care. Okay, good morning, everyone. We're talking about Maaser Sheni. I'm still trying to connect it to Pesach, but it has to do with the Beis HaMikdash, which we hope for very soon. Maaser Sheni was that every 3 years, each one of us becomes a Levi, becomes holy, like Hashem's special person to do his avoda. That's a big part of the Pesach thing, is that we used to have the oldest one in each family bring us to a flavor of serving in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the whole idea of passing over and the Siyam of the Bechorus. But Maaser Sheni is that in that third year, we take our fruits up and we have to eat them in holiness. But in practice, the Torah, it wasn't so practical to bring all your fruits up because it was very heavy and the fruits would get damaged. And so what you did is the Torah allowed for you 100% to put the holiness of the fruits on the money, to be poda them, to redeem them onto money, and then you bring the money up. And we got onto that subject about, right now we're in the money, so you're discussing coins that get rubbed out. And when they get rubbed out, so people feel cheated because you wanted a full weight coin. And we talked about it, as long as it's an accepted coin, there's a certain area of coin that some people accept and some don't. Can you go back to the guy and say, you gave me I want it back. You got to do that right away. Or, or do you have time frame? So that was our subject yesterday. And on this same subject, the only really other mitzvah that has to do with coins is Maaser Sheni. And so we come back to that a few times, and now we're going to come back to it again. We're going to start at the two dots on Nun Beis Amud Beis. Here the question was, if a coin is rubbed out a little, can you use it for Maaser Sheni? So I was talking about it yesterday, that it's not very nice to give tzedakah on something that's rubbed out, but that's not really the point of the Gemara. The Gemara here is saying that sometimes when you bring that coin up and you try to redeem it, there are certain places where they will only take a perfect coin. And so in general, the person should be willing to... The idea that everything has to be perfect and you won't accept less than the best, that you can't give a person a break if his coin is rubbed out a little bit, that's considered nefesh ra. That's considered like a bad... you could look at it, it's a difficult way to live with somebody who's a perfectionist, or when he's insisting that other people be perfect, it's very difficult to deal with such a person. So, but let's read the words. V'nosno l'maaser sheni. You can give these coins, you can use these coins for maaser sheni, and even though they're rubbed out, they're not rubbed out where the value isn't there, but she'enu ela nefesh ra. And if somebody refuses to accept it, that person is considered a nefesh ra. It's a bad way to go aren't willing to give in on a little bit of a rub. You know, the coin's rubbed a little and you won't accept it. Omrapapa shmamina, you see from here, mhaiman de muki mazuzi, if you got a person that's insistent on every little penny, mikri nefesh ra. He's called a nefesh ra. They've actually tried to start teaching this concept in the schools. That a person should be a vatrin, that they should be, what do they call it? The person should be, should give in, should be learned to give in, or not. There was a concept of not insisting or being able to
being tolerant.
That's the correct word. Correct. Yeah. The vatranis or the, or, you know, just, some people that are not naturally that way, and they're not fun to get along with. That your person getting along with people means sometimes giving in. And so that calls it a nefesh ra, if a person is not willing to take a coin that's rubbed a little bit. Okay. This was a quote from the Mishnah. I was hoping that somebody said. Okay. Omer Papash, Vahani Mili, that's only the Sagilahu, that other people will accept it. But if the coin is actually bad, so obviously we don't expect you to accept it. Somebody can turn off the. Let's see. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I did. Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. So again, it's only it's a nefesh ra if you won't take less than perfection and you make with these coins, and even though it's not perfect, it's rubbed out a little bit. Now that's as long as people take it. But if people don't accept it, then that's a different story.
It was only the gold, because the silver, this is applied only to the silver, right?
It seems like all their coins got rubbed.
What is the gold, like the gold value by itself, the weight of like dinar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that some things didn't. There was the value of the metal, and then some things were the because the coin was accepted or was used a fixed value. So those things that have a fixed value, but even the fixed value, some people wanted perfect coins, and we're saying that people should accept them as long as in theory they're accepted as currency. A person should accept them. Messiah Lulachiskia, this brings a proof to Chiskia, the Omer Chiskia Balaforta, that if you're coming to make change, Porta Beshav, a person should, this word Porta means like give in Prutas. A person should be willing to accept as long as the value is there. Balachalalo, if you're coming to put Meiser Sheni on it, then you should try to get a nice coin. Meaning that if somebody offers it to you in the coin to redeem, you should accept it even if it's not perfect. But you should ideally choose the best coin to put the holiness on. So Moira says, my comrade, it's confusing. What does it mean? You choose the best, but one second, how would you have a worn-out coin if you chose the best? So, my comer, what does it mean to say, this is what it means to say, even though people should accept a coin if it has the face value and it's still used for what the face of it is, kishu mechalo, but when you choose a coin to redeem with, mechalo b'yaf, ideally you should choose a nice coin that's not worn out. The maimer to sever Chiskiya mezalzim b'maiser sheni. Does Chiskiya say that maiser sheni doesn't have to be perfect? The mezalzim means it doesn't have to be a worn out, a perfect coin. It can be rubbed out. V'amar Chiskiya, didn't Chiskiya say maiser sheni she'ein bo sheva pruta? That if you have maiser sheni, sometimes you have a few grapes and they're not worth a sheva pruta. So you have a dilemma, is that how do you put it on a coin? They don't fill up, it's not even a whole coin's worth. So Omer hu v'chamsho, it together with its fifth, mechul al mos rishonus. What you can do is that it's not an exact science redeeming the holiness of the fruits on the coins. So you can, typically you had more coin, more value than you did fruits. So if you have a little bit that's not quite a penny's worth, it's not quite, well, today a penny isn't worth a penny, but it's not quite, a sheva pruta means something of value that you can use to buy something. And so many people feel today you can't buy anything for a penny. And sometimes you can't even buy anything for a nickel, that you might even need a dime for a sheva pruta today. I'm not even sure what you could buy for a dime. But so if you have less than that amount, what you can do is you can go to something that was already used to redeem, some other coins that were already used, and typically you didn't fill them up. In other words, you had a $100 coin, and you probably had about $90 of produce. Like, it wasn't an exact science. So you're allowed to take the part that's less than a sheva pruta and put it back on that other coin because it's not full. So that's what it means here. when you have Meiser Sheni Shein Bo Sheva Pruta, if you have a little bit of fruit, Omer Huva Chamsha Mechol Most Rishonis, you can go back to the earlier money. Fishi Epshel Adam with some same mo. It's not possibly perfect. So what do we mean by Yafa, a nice coin? But Taurus Yafa, we mean that you should try to do it with something that you already know is has Meiser Sheni value to it, because we don't want to be lenient and start a new coin without, if you only had half a Sheva Pruta, it could be that that won't work. Now, aren't we lenient in that way to allow you to put half a Pruta of fruit on a coin? The trade Zile Lo Mezalzenbe. We don't want to do too, it's bending the rules too much. Let's see, Rashi. This word zila means like bending the rules. It's four lines from the bottom. So again, we're talking about deconsecrating fruits onto money, which is the way that you bring the money up for Meiser Sheni. And we're talking about doing something that's a little questionable, and we have some tolerance, but we don't do a double tolerance for it. So as Rashi explains, the trade zila mazel. Davin na nosa Meiser Sheni chad zilusa. You're allowed to do one. There's one tolerance if it's worn out a little bit. We said you're allowed to use a rubbed out coin if that's the only coin available. We don't say that coin is like a slug. You don't have the perfect coin and it's not ideal. Best would be to use a beautiful brand new shiny nickel, but you don't have that. So we can be chilled and allow one zil. Avo trey zil, but double leniency. L'chao la maisib de me sell a yafa, but then to do a second one that we don't allow.
What's the logistics? There's this guy, he's got fruit and he's got change. Mm-hmm. And he has it all. Mm-hmm. Or is he taking that fruit and going? He's taking that fruit and going someplace else to get money from someplace else. Does he still maintain ownership of the fruit?
Yeah. He's taking his money out of his safe and bringing it next to the fruit.
So what we're almost saying is that he needs to, if he knows in his head he's going to be redeeming the fruit, then he needs to kind of have some pristine coins.
That would be ideal, yes. But he's only got one that's rubbed out a little, and right, so we're saying once he's using one leniency, he should try not to do two. Okay, back to the Gemara.
Can he sell it to somebody else, to somebody else's money, redeem it that way? Like, can he go to the money changer and say, listen, I want money, here's the fruits, and redeem it?
Yeah, so we said we had people do it. They don't have to add the fifth. Sometimes people had other people do it, so they wouldn't add the fifth.
Oh,
if you do it yourself, you got to add the fifth. So we did have that case, yeah.
What do we mean, two mazilzois? In other words, two bad coins?
No. Bending the rules in two ways.
Two loopholes.
Grade,
really. Yeah. So what are the two ways again?
So one is to use out a rubbed out coin.
Right.
So once you use out the rubbed out coin, the coin actually has, if you are using it, then you don't put on the same amount of meiser as you would the perfect coin, because it's worth a little bit less because it weighs less. So we allow you to use it, but then we don't allow you to claim full value. That would be a double, something like that. Gufa, let's examine that rule back to the Gemara. Amar Chizkiya Maisu Sheni Shein Bo Sheva Pruta. Let's say if you don't have enough fruit to fill up a whole coin. Amar Huva Chamsha Mechol Most Rishonis. So then you find some previous coins that were used and put the holiness on there. Now, how do you know there's any space left to add holiness? That's where Chizkiya taught it. Meisve, more is a question from the following. And now we're going to just get into the various rules of redeeming Meiser Sheni. Hatruma v'abikurim. When it comes to the rules of truma and first fruits, chayav ala misa. If you eat them, and you're not a Kohen, and even though you ate them, you're in big trouble. A person deserves death if he eats them on purpose. If he eats them by mistake, he's got to redeem them. V'chomesh. He adds the fifth, v'asel lezarim. And there's a special law for a non-Kohen to eat them. V'hein nixei Kohen, and they belong to the Kohen v'olin. Now, what happens if they get mixed in with other foods? Cohen's got this problem. He's got...
So it's one thing, you know, normally stealing, you pay back double, you pay back four or five.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you chayv misa.
Well, that's to Hashem if a person did it on purpose. And when they're in the... Since they're in a truma, and so truma is...
We're equating, in other words, stealing from the Kohen is like mamash being boiled behektish.
This is stealing from Hashem. Truma belongs to Hashem. The Kohen eats the truma from Hashem's table. There are things that are just gifts to the Kohen that don't have intrinsic holiness.
No, I'm saying, we're saying here, if you eat the food.
Yeah, right. So
somebody ate bikurim.
Right. So there are things like the paw, the jaw, and the maw, or the other things where it's just the property of a Kohen. It doesn't have intrinsic holiness. If a person eats it, they're just stealing from a Kohen. This belongs to Hashem. Truma belongs to Hashem. And so if a person eats it, they deserve death. It's true that it's not nice to steal from a Kohen. Trust me, I don't want anybody stealing from a Kohen. But your person who eats Truma is stealing from Hashem, or the first fruits. And so...
In other words, the poor, the jaw, and the maw is not Hashem's. It's just a gift.
It's just a gift to the Kohen. There are things that...
It's almost like you're a shliach.
Yeah.
The Kohen's a shliach.
For Hashem. And so for this, if a person were to eat it, he's like taking it off Hashem's table. So,
and that's Chayav Misa.
And that's where it'd be Chayav Misa. Yeah, that's right. Now, what? Why does the Mishnah add that it belongs to the Kohen? So Rashi throws in case you want to get married and you don't want to use a ring and you're a Kohen and somebody gave you some good truma, they nixei truma, nixei Kohen, two lines up, l'kadosh b'meisir, you can get married with that. Masha ein kein b'meisir. Whereas Meiser Stam, Mishikre Meir, or Meiser Mama Gavohu, of a Makadish Bo Lo Kiddush. If you were to use Meiser, it wouldn't work. That belongs to Hashem. That doesn't belong to you. So it is the Kohen does own the value, even though it's. And so technically he could propose to a woman with this. Okay. Now, what happens if it gets mixed in with other food? Let's say you have spices that are truma or something, and you put a little bit on some other food. So it's nullified with 101. V'toin rechitzis yadayim. And you got to wash your hands before you eat them. The erev shemesh. And if the Kohen became impure and he went to the mikvah, he's got to wait for nightfall before he's allowed to eat them. And this is true of truma and bikurim, mash ein kein b'meiser, whereas meiser is different. So this is meiser sheni that we're talking about, and we're saying that meiser sheni isn't quite the same. Now, what does that mean, it's not quite the same? Mash ein kein b'meiser. What do we mean, meiser is not the same? Lav mal chad meiser, did that mean that meiser would be nullified? If we said before, that Chizkia says that you can always deconsecrate meiser. And if we agree with Chizkia, so the rule is that we only look to nullification if we have no other solution. Nullification is de facto, it's nullified. But if you have another solution, there's a way that you could deconsecrate it or remove the whole. What happened is you took some Meiser Sheni and it got mixed in with other food. It has to be taken up to Yerushalayim and eaten in holiness and this and that. So you know what you can do? You just take a coin, take the holiness off that and put it on the coin. That's what Chizkia said. So if we have that, how can we say over here you can nullify it? There's another solution. The kol davar sheyesh matirin. And if there is another solution, there's another way that it'd be permitted. A few of the eliflo batel, then it's not nullified. So Lemara says, how do we know that what he was referring to, this was an inference. So, and we're asking the question based on inferring that. How do we know to infer that Meiser is Batel? Really, maybe it's not. Demalo Batel Klal, maybe it's not. How do we know that was the inference? So Lemara said, not. You can't say that. The Legabi Truma, Chamri de Truma Katani Lai. We were saying Truma is strict, and we're saying Meiser isn't. We weren't saying leniencies. So So the Gemara said, yeah, but Bahakatani Vehe Nixay Kohen. Didn't we say that they are the property of the Kohen and that has a certain leniency that it's the property of the Kohen? I Vatani Vehe Nixay Kohen. Yeah, so I think we're trying to say that tells us that we were. This is telling us that you're allowed to, Cohen's allowed to use it. So we are saying certain leniencies. Our question is, when we said that we're strict regarding Truma and Bikurim and not regarding Meiser, did we mean a certain leniency? So maybe, so we said it must be Meiser's Batel. And the Morris is like, Hiskia Meiser wouldn't be Batel. So the Morris answer is maybe we didn't mean to say that we're lenient by Meiser. Maybe that wasn't the inference. So the Morris is saying, no, it's clear that we meant to say strict things about Truma, implying that Meiser was lenient. So the Gemara is saying, well, not necessarily. Maybe there were certain leniencies also. So maybe we're just saying certain things don't apply to Meiser. How do you know that we're saying Meiser was lenient and it's nullified? That's the question the Gemara is using to answer this question. That's answer number one. But the Gemara then says, so again, the question really is, Chizkia said you have a solution to deconsecrate Meiser. And so if you have that solution, the question is he correct? So we asked a question over here. We seem to imply that Meiser isn't nullified. We're questioning whether we can assert that. But now the Gemara says, but no, we learned directly. The Gemara Behedja, Lo Soka Daita, don't assume that that's not true. The Tanya Behedja, we learned directly, Meiser Sheni Bato Barov. That it is batel b'roiv, that you could nullify it. But ezer meiser sheni amru, and which meiser sheni were we talking about? But meiser sheni shein bo sheva pruta. If you had less than a pruta's worth of produce, v'shenikse Yerushalayim, or if you were in Yerushalayim and you left, that in both those cases you can nullify it. V'i mislel chizkia, and if we agree with chizkia that you can transfer it. Why don't we do that solution? Is Chizkia right? So why do we have all these cases where it sounds like we're stuck? So the Gemara said, Delo Parak. Now, it was a case where you didn't have those earlier coins. If you had those other coins, you're right, we could solve this problem. But you don't always have those extra coins. I've a nicey maised islay. Well, why don't you just get... The problem here is that you have less than a pruta. Why don't you get other Meiser and add it together, and then you could, then everybody agrees you could transfer it. But nice, the issue here is redeeming less than a pruta's worth of coins. But nice and Meiser in Starfu, the Gemara said, Deraisa de Rabbana Lomit Starfu. You wouldn't be able to do that because it's two separate rules. The Nicey Demai, well, maybe you could bring Demai and do it on the Demai fruits, which we're treating as Meiser. The Gemara says, no, we don't allow that. Dilma Asulusuya Vadet. I have a nice shtei prutas. Well, then bring two coins, v'nechalala meiser b'pruta u'mechsa, and then do on a coin and a half, v'nechalala hai al hai, and then you will have an extra half to redeem the extra money, yisera. So Morris says, mi savas pruta u'mechsa tafsa. How do you know that you can do a coin and a half, shtei prutas lo tafsa? If you redeemed meiser on coins and it went over one coin, how do you know that there would be room left on the other coin? How do you know it would end up being like a pruta and a half? Tafsa pruta v'chatzi pruta lo tafsa. Maybe it doesn't work on less than, maybe there's no such thing as redeeming half a pruta. See, we had before like a $10 coin and you could do $5 worth of meiser on it. But if it's a penny coin, how do you know you could do half a penny's worth? This has kind of been the stopping point of the question of is there a solution for less than a pruta of meiser? So how do I have a deraiser abundant? Because in the end, you're going to have a Torah and a rabbinic. The deraiser abundant, you can't add the two together. So then the Gemara says, v'naisi iser, So then bring a more expensive coin. So the Gemara said, Dilma asei lo suye prutos. Maybe you'll come to do the smaller coins. And we said before, you can't use those smaller coins. V'shenikin shulai v'yotze. So the Gemara was surprised that we couldn't come up with an easier solution to redeem those coins. One of the problems we mentioned was coins that went into Yerushalayim and left. So the Gemara said, v'shenikin shulai v'yotze v'amai lahar v'nayo. Why don't you just take them back in if you left? What's the problem? Coins are supposed to be taken up to Yerushalayim and eaten there. And you forgot you had some in your pocket, you brought them home. So go back and eat them. What's the problem? So the Gemara said, the case is kishenitma. They became tummy. The coins became tummy, yeah. So then the Gemara says, v'nifrika. So, then transfer it to pure coins. So, how do you know, as we turn the page, if you can always transfer. You weren't able to eat it. It means you weren't able, because they were tamish.
So, in other words, the Shulchani, the banker guy, had to have two piles of coins. He had to keep track of all his money to know which coins are tamay and which coins aren't.
Yeah, for Meiser, I guess.
He had to know, oh, you're doing Meiser Yerushalayim, you take these coins. Everybody else, you get from this pile. I never heard that.
And a coin can't transfer.
Literally. No, I'm just saying, I never knew that. They had
Is
to do
he
that.
Saying the coin should be tame or the fruits would become tame?
Can coins transfer?
I was saying the coins, and you're asking me, is that true that coins can become tame? It'd be the fruits. Let's see.
Yeah, but the fruits are long gone. The fruits are back in the village, aren't they?
Well, they're two different. Maybe this is a different case. Is it talking about with money or is it talking about with coins?
It's not a proper keli because it doesn't have a base kibble. But it's, I'm going to say it's a matkas. It's metal. Why? Maybe it could become tummy.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But you could be matire the same way you'd be matire any metal keli.
Yeah. See, when the Gemara says Rebbe Eliezer, he was talking of not about the coins. He was talking about the Meiser Sheni itself, just the fruits. Then, so I'm not sure if it's referring to. Thank you though for the. In other words, you're saying any vessel could become tameh if that's too much mace, or. Can it also become tame for, I'm not sure. But the Gemara is definitely switching to fruits when it says Rebbe Eliezer. So our question is, we said there's we said an additional case. We talked about if you have less than a Sheva Pruta of Meiser, and we talked about where you went in and out, and we talked about where it became tame. So our question is, so we said when it went out, why can't you bring it back in? So we said it became tame. So now our question was, well, why can't you redeem it? Because Rebbe Lazar taught you could redeem it, even Yerushalayim. It's not too late. Once, even when it's brought up, you can transfer it to things that are pure. Shenemar, as it says, v'yes miseis meis panav. So the Gemara answered, ela bilakuah b'keser meiser sheni. So we're not talking about the original Meiser. We're talking about something. We're talking about after you took the money and bought something else. So it's already been redeemed twice. You took the original Meiser Sheni, put it on the coins. You took the coins up to Yerushalayim, put it, and then transferred it to the food, and then the food became tamei. So the Gemara said, "Well, why can't you redeem that?" But kulup a Meiser Sheni nami lifrika. You should be able to tanana kulup Meiser Sheni shenit ma yifta. So the answer is not everybody holds you can redeem at that point. Rebbe Yehuda d'omer yikfer. He says you got to bury it. So the Gemara says, "Well, if Rebbe Yehuda ma'ir yotze, why does it have to be Yerushalayim? If yilalo yotze nami, even in Yerushalayim, he doesn't allow you to redeem it. So clearly, we're not Rebbe Yehuda el olamitar." Really, we don't like that whole answer that we're talking about Tamei, Meiser Sheni, we're talking about Tahar. And so then our question was, what does it mean that you left? Why can't you go back in? So the Gemara says, an easy answer. The walls fell down. The Nafal Mechitzas. don't know if it meant like by the second base of Migdosh or the walls came tumbling down, and so there's no walls to go back in.
That's a milsa de lo shtika, but that's okay.
Let's go back to where it's tumbling and you don't redeem it. But okay, so the walls fell down. So in such a case, if the walls were to fall down and you left, so you wouldn't be able to take it back in. The Gemara wants to know the halacha here. What do you do if you're stuck? This rule that you have to, once it's been in, to eat it, to eat the Maaser Sheni, that's Minatora. But once it's been in and it's been taken out, that you got to go back, that's Rabbanan. The key goes Rabbanan. When did the rabbi say you got to go back if you got the walls? Ki lasa mechitza, but if you don't got the walls, well, maybe there's no decree. So Gemara said, lo palag Rabbanan. Bein isna mechitza, bein la. They didn't necessarily think about that case. They just made a rule. If it leaves, it can't be redeemed. It can't be eaten there. Rav Huna bar Yehuda amar Rav Sheshes Charektani. He learns it as one case. Maaser Sheni she'en bo sheva pruta she'nikti shulayim v'yetzeh. That solves, instead of learning two problems, he learns it's only one problem. You had this Maaser Sheni that wasn't sheva pruta that was in and then went out. So then the Gemara said, v'amayin ahadar na'al v'nechol, so go back and eat it there. The nafu mechitzas, the walls fell down. V'nifrika so redeem it. Omarav mechitza l'achad yiraisa mechitza l'achad yirabanim. This rule that you need the walls, maybe that's only the Rabbanan. The key goes to Rabbanan, ki is in mechitzas. And the rabbis only required you to go back and eat it if there's walls. But if there are no walls, lo goes to Rabbanan. So we answer lo palug Rabbanan. No, maybe they didn't know to come up with such a scenario. So that meaning that they made a rule and they didn't differentiate in the rule. So then the Gemara says, "Yeah, my rainbow sheva pruta. So why do you need the case where there's less than a sheva? There's no walls to go back to. Even if you have nami." So the Gemara said, "Lomi boy, not only lomi boy, yeshbo the kolten le mechitzas. If you had a sheva pruta, that would work in the walls of a rainbow. But if there's so little, maybe it's not even didn't really work, and therefore it doesn't have a requirement of the walls. Kamash malon that both would have the requirement of the walls." So basically, we're dealing with Maaser Sheni problems. Maaser that they have to, if you have less than a Sheva Pruta, if they became Tamei, if they're out of the walls. Oh, those are the different problems of the Maaser Sheni and the nuances of that halacha. Tan Rabban, our rabbis learn, you go, Ish Maaser. How do we know that it's a problem if it's less than a Sheva Pruta? It says, if you will surely redeem your Maaser, mi Maaseros, from your Maaser, velo kol Maaser. There's a certain Maaser you can't redeem, prat la Maaser sheni she'en bo Sheva Pruta. If it's missing a whole Pruta, if you can't redeem, half a penny is like not redeemable. It ma revam ya ein bo.
Why would you have less than a Pruta anyway? Is that because that's just what the mathematics came up to for your season?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't you be able to redeem that? I don't understand that. It's still the Bikurim or whatever they're bringing up.
Let's say you have a few grapes left. Well, let's say
the crop's not a good crop, but Mamish, you still have a certain percentage or the first fruits, whatever it is. So you're bringing those up. But if it's less, you get slam dunked if it's less than approval.
Right, that's right. You're kind of stuck.
What, so he can't eat it and he's not going to schlep it?
I wasn't even thinking about that side of it, but yeah, you're right. I was just thinking that's a smack in the face for the farmer, being a wannabe farmer.
you need, it should be...
So in other words, he worked and worked and what? He got one grape from the whole harvest.
He just had
one
bad season.
Edible grape.
That's bad. And then he can't even redeem it, right?
He says, so he can't eat it and he can't redeem it.
Right, right. That's the, but
I think that's more of a punishment than having a zero season, having a late frost or whatever.
I assume that he had more, and this there just was a little bit more, and he thought he had more, and it didn't end up being that much, so it ended up being like half a coin.
Like two times he was doing it.
Yeah. On the other side.
He forgot some of it.
Yeah. Well, look, Prat Lamais Ainbo Sheva Pruta. Itmar, we learned. Ravami says Ainbo. He says that there's not, the coin isn't full. Ravasi says Ainbo Chomsho. There's not enough for the fifth. In other words, there might be enough. When you added the fifth, there's no room for the fifth on it. Reb Yochanan said, "Ein bo." Reb Shimon ben Lakish, "Ein bo chomsho." No, referring to the adding the fifth. When you redeem the fruits, you got to be able to add the fifth, and that fifth extra doesn't go on the coin; it goes to the next coin. You can't redeem it because it doesn't fill up a whole coin. Didn't we say that this isn't a problem? We said you can go back to the previous crop and add it to there. So if you say that we're just referring to the fifth, that's not a very big amount. That's enough. Even though you have enough money to redeem it, since you don't have enough to redeem the fifth, so Shapir, so that would explain the issue why there's not enough on the earlier coins to count for the fifth. El Lamandir Ainbo, my dio, what does it mean? If you don't have enough, you don't have enough. Okay, so it's a difficulty here trying to understand this halacha of redeeming.
Almost means he has to go and have somebody else redeem him for him because he doesn't have enough for the fifth for him to do it himself.
Right.
He could do it that way, right?
Well, he could, yeah. But it's right now he's trying to do it himself, and he doesn't have enough coins to cover the added fifth.
Yeah.
So one more halacha, Yiboylehu. The question is this fifth. How do you figure out the fifth? Is it an outside fifth? I'm sorry, an inside fifth, or chumsha milabar, or an outside fifth? Let's see, Rashi. Is it an inside fifth? Al shava esrim zuz. If it's worth 20, mosiv arba, you add 4 shehein chomsho shokeren. In other words, this way you have 20, and you add 4 more. That's a fifth. So that's you take the fifth from the inside, or chomsho labar from the outside. Al arba revim mosiv chamishis. If you have 4, you add a fifth from the outside. To have esim zuz, chamisha zuz. 5 out of 20.
The result would be 25.
Would be 25. Yeah.
Right. So that the keren would wind up being the 20.
Would be the 20. So one's 20% and one's 25%.
No, both wind up. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. From the outside, yeah. That would be 20. No, they're both 20%.
No, 5 on 20, 25%.
No, the 25, if you're going by the 25, so then the additional 5 is still 20% of the 20 keren.
5 on 20 is 25%.
If you're starting with 20, you're looking at the keren.
Yeah. Right,
the fifth would be 24.
That's right. That's the inside.
So that would be 20%.
That's right.
That's a fifth. If you're looking at 25, so then it's 20%.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So the question is, which one is the fifth? Which is the...
No, because the 25, 5 of which, when you take off the 5, that's going to bring you down to the 20. So that's 20%.
Oh, you're saying that the 5 goes based on the 20
exactly.
Versus... Oh, I see.
That's right.
So which is the real method of the fifth here? So I'm Ravina Tashima. We can figure this out here. Definitely the fifth. That's right. Over here, the person, this is a different case where a person donated his field to Hagdish and it has to be redeemed. And the question was, how much was it worth? So the owner says it was worth 20. So if people bid to redeem it, so we choose the original owner, Mivnei Shemosif and Chamash, because if Hegdish chooses the owner, they're going to get more money because the owner, when he redeems his donation, he has to add a fifth. So even though the other owner is equal. Omer Echad Arei Alai B'Esrim V'Echad. What happens if one of the other people bids 21 and the Baalim bids Esrim V'Shesh 26? We'll find out tomorrow how to solve that bid. Okay, we'll stop here.
What's with tomorrow? Anybody? Like, how are we working with CM? Not with CM?
After the CM, Mirz Hashem.
So wait. So there's a six, tomorrow. I didn't see this guy. Tomorrow there's a 650.
650
as usual. 650. And after 650, you go up to the CM.
For the 640 million.
Of the seniors of breakfast, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So after the breakfast, we'll have a class.
Did they publish the race somewhere? They have like New York Times, how much was the pound of grapes, you know, how you know the rate of exchange for the coins?
So that's, we were talking about that. How would, I don't know.
That's different accounting. Right? We've been talking about keeping track of what's on the money.
Right.
But there, you have to keep track of the value of the product.
Product question before the change.
Yeah, well.